Well, good morning and greetings to each of you in Christ's name. It's a privilege to be here this morning with you. The past several years, I embarked on a series of messages on marriage and family, and I feel like I've come to the end of that series at this point, not because the subject is exhausted. I don't think anyone can exhaust any subject. Any biblical principle or subject can be exhausted, but rather, and there's always ways that we can strive towards better following God's principles, but rather, I feel like the time is right to move to other areas of study as well. So this morning, I felt led to look at a subject that I feel that I could and should grow in personally, and it's a subject that's displayed in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think it's an area and a subject that we as a congregation could and should grow in too. I've entitled the message this morning, Biblical Hospitality. What is it? What does it look like? With whom do we extend it to? What are the practical implications in the brotherhood? What are the practical implications with unbelievers? Do you exercise biblical hospitality? It's something that we as Anabaptists have, it's been a strong point in our faith culture, in our in the past. It's been a strong point. It's been a good thing. It's biblical that we're strong in it. I think it's something that we can also could stand to sharpen our expression of and our thoughts on. So I invite you on that journey this morning. Maybe start with definition of hospitality. I looked at Webster's definition, and Webster says hospitality is hospitable treatment, reception, or disposition. Well, that doesn't tell us a whole lot. So what is hospitable? Well, Webster says it's given to generous and cordial reception of guests, promising or suggesting generous and cordial welcome, offering pleasant or sustaining environment, kind to strangers, giving a generous welcome to guests, approachable, gracious, and kind, with the antonyms, the opposites being hostile or inhospitable. Well, I wanted to know what the word that's used in the scripture, as just translate hospitality, what the Greek word means. The Greek word means fond of guests, i.e. hospitable, given to hospitality, a lover of hospitality, and the use of hospitality. But that word then is translated from, the word that translates hospitality in the Greek comes from two other Greek words. One of those words means to entertain strangers, and the other one means dear, i.e. friend, actually fond, friendly, associate, neighbor, a friend. So as I looked at that, the picture that I got was one of that hospitality involves both strangers and friends, both brother and unbeliever. Biblical hospitality involves and indicates a cheerful, willing heart that's not grudging in its practice. And I think we'll see that in 1 Peter 4 later on. If we're fond of it, then we enjoy practicing it. But biblical hospitality takes time, as you know, to practice it and to cultivate it, both in the brotherhood and outside the brotherhood. Just like friendship takes time. Hospitality should be a mindset, a lifestyle, and should involve both believers and unbelievers, both friend and stranger. What do the scriptures have to say about hospitality? There are more examples that pertain to hospitality than I expected in the scriptures. The word hospitality is not used in the Old Testament, but it is repeatedly implied and practiced in the Old Testament. God repeatedly told the children of Israel to show love and kindness to strangers, to give food and clothes to them. They were told not to vex or oppress strangers. Why? Because they were once strangers in Egypt. And God mentions this several times. There's also repeated examples of people showing kindness and hospitality, both to strangers and friends and family. Another thing that stood out to me in the Old Testament is that God ties the God's view of the widow, the fatherless, and the stranger are often put in the same category, the same grouping. God's heart is for these people. His heart is for the oppressed. His heart is for the one that lacks. His heart is for the one that can be taken advantage of in society. I believe that one thing that God is saying in the Old Testament is that I want you to show kindness and love to them. I want you to feed and clothe them. I want you to show hospitality to them. And since God's heart is turned towards these people, the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger, I believe he wants our hearts turned toward them as well. And we do that by showing hospitality, not just talking about it. So I want to look at some scriptures in the Old Testament that refer, that I believe both explicitly or imply, hospitality. I invite you to turn with me to Exodus 22. And I'm reading a number of several short passages, a few verses here and there in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy that show to me God's heart for people and how we should treat them. Exodus 22, verse 21 to 24. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. God takes seriously those who oppress others who can be taken advantage of easily. Turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, and then 33 and 34. Leviticus 19, and when ye, verse 9, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Verse 33, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. They were to leave the harvest, leave some of the harvest for the poor and the stranger. So they had to eat. Someone in need could readily find a field or a vineyard and find a place to find food to eat. I was struck by, in verse 33 and 34, the idea of a stranger being one born among you. And I think the stranger, in this case, also could mean a sojourner or someone who's passing through. He wasn't from that country. And I had to think, okay, so how does this apply to us? Now, immigration and immigration laws are kind of a hot-button issue nowadays. And I think as with any law, we should support the laws of the land. But we're not really, it's not, if a stranger or an immigrant or a refugee comes to our country, it's really not in our place to, not in our place to send them back, right? So how do I view the immigrant, the refugee who is here? Do we see them as a lawbreaker? Do we see them as an individual for whom Christ died? Do we see them as someone in need that we should reach out to and to help and to feed and to clothe and to extend Christ's compassion to them as one born among us? It says, thou shalt love him as thyself. Just a challenge. Not to get pulled into the political disagreement here, but see these people as individuals for whom we should extend compassion and love to extend hospitality to. Deuteronomy 10. Verses 17 to 19. Deuteronomy 10, 17 to 19. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love the stranger, give him food and clothes. Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 and 13. When thou hast made an end of tithing all of the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and thou hast given it unto the Lord, unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Tithing of our first fruits and giving to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Deuteronomy 27, just a little next chapter, verse 19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Perverting the judgment, or perhaps requiring something different of the stranger, or the fatherless, or the sojourner, the refugee. God does not take lightly. Don't require something different of them than of yourself. What are some Old Testament stories that exemplify hospitality? Well, one of the things that readily came to me as I was studying was Abraham's interaction with the angels. So let's look at that passage briefly. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, verses 1 to 8. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. It's a beautiful picture of hospitality. Abraham's interaction here with these three men. He saw these men. He ran to meet them. And that indicates to me he was excited to see them. He was happy to see them. He wanted to serve them. He wanted to bless them. He was, as the Greek word hospitality would say, he was fond of these guests. It showed a warm welcome to the strangers, and it showed a lack of suspicion on Abraham's part. And I think that's one thing that runs counter to hospitality is suspicion. If we see a stranger, we see someone in need, sometimes it's tempting to be suspicious about what their true motives are, maybe, or maybe what's really going on, but suspicion really undermines hospitality. He says in verse 3, please don't leave me before I can serve you. Then he offers water to them, wash your feet. He invites them to rest. He tells me he's going to get some bread. Sarah doesn't know about this yet, but he hurries into the tent and tells Sarah to make these cakes quickly, runs to the cattle, gets a young calf, and all of this is a picture of, to me, of excitement and desire for to do what he can for these visitors. He showed genuine hospitality to these men. He ran to meet them. He didn't regard them with suspicion. He served them well. And they left clean, rested, filled with food. And I might add, maybe more importantly, his interaction with them would have had the potential to open the door for future friendship and relationship with them. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings next, 1 Kings 17. This is the story of the widow Zarephath and Elijah. And one interesting note about this story is that she is a widow herself, and widows are the ones, are part of the group that God says, you must take care of these people. But here the widow shows kindness to Elijah, and generosity and hospitality in the process. So 1 Kings 17, verses 8 to 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth it rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Elijah meets this widow gathering sticks, asks for a drink, and then, oh, by the way, I'd like some bread as well. But you don't understand. I don't have enough for you. I just have for me and my son, and then we're going to die because we're going to starve. This is all we have. Elijah says, No, bring me some first. God will not allow the flour and the oil to run out. The beautiful picture of faith as this widow obeyed Elijah's instructions. And I can, in the days following, I can see her son. I don't know how old he was, but I can see him running to the barrel of oil, or the barrel flour and the cruse of oil, and looking, and there's still some in here, Mommy. What a powerful example of God's blessing the faith of this woman. This widow is a real example of unselfish hospitality in the face of looking at the reality of her and her son starving, not having much themselves. But you know, God calls us to hospitality whether we have much or whether we have little. We all have something that we can give. The Old Testament has many examples of people showing hospitality to both stranger and friend, as well as family. Think of Laban and Jacob, and there are a lot of different interesting stories of how Old Testament saints many times bend over backwards to welcome guests. What can we learn from the New Testament? I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. This is in the context of the judgment, the last judgment, and Jesus' words here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall ye also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall ye answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's a bit of a sobering passage to me in some ways. Jesus promises that we will inherit the kingdom of God if we give the hungry food, give the thirsty drink, take the stranger in, clothe the naked and those in prison, and visit the sick. When we do it to one of these, the least of these, we are doing it to Christ. And this is a picture of, again, a picture of biblical hospitality, God's heart for people, and the value he wants us to place on each life that we interact with. No matter who they are, no matter what their past is, no matter what their beliefs are, no matter what their political persuasion is, no matter what their socioeconomic standing is, no matter what their view of sexuality is, we are called to extend biblical hospitality in the name of Christ. Those who do receive life eternal, and those who don't go to everlasting punishment. Jesus also has instruction for us in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Then said he also to them that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I think what Jesus is saying is don't only invite friends and brothers and family, and the other scriptures speak of the importance of that, but in this passage he's specifically saying invite those who can't give back. Invite those who can't pay you back. Invite those who can't return the favor. And if we do so, there will be an eternal reward for us. We should not give to others and serve others just so they will sometime in the future serve us. I thought of Thanksgiving time coming up, the time of festivity, a time of plenty, feasting. We enjoy getting together with family and enjoying a good meal together. I would encourage you to take the opportunity to invite someone who's not a part of your immediate family. Invite them into your home as well, whether it's someone that you know well or not. Extend hospitality to them. Let them enjoy the bounty with you. In the spirit of Luke 14, invite someone who won't even be able to return the favor in the future. Romans chapter 12. Is a rich passage, and just want to look at just a few verses here from Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. I think these verses show the overall surrounding attitude that leads us to a lifestyle of hospitality. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. A genuine love, clinging to that which is good, abhorring that which is evil, being kindly affectioned one towards another, a hopeful look, a patient outlook. All of these things lead us to distributing to the necessity of saints and being given to hospitality. I think these verses lead to a mindset and a lifestyle here, not only to the stranger, but also to the saints, the brothers around us. As the context here in this chapter would indicate. And I think in many ways, hospitality starts with my brother. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And by this, all men shall know that you love me if you have love for one another. So if we can become comfortable in extending hospitality to our brother, I think that sets a foundation for us to express and extend hospitality to the world around us as well, who don't know Christ. First Timothy 5. Verses 9 through 13. This is in the context of widows in the church and the church's response to them. But I think it also gives a picture both of hospitality and as well as perhaps the opposite of hospitality in verse 13. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And then the counter to that, or maybe the opposite of that, is what he describes then in verse 13, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only to be idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I think those things run counter to the spirit of hospitality. First Timothy 3:2, and Titus 1:7-8, says that is that church leaders are required to be hospitable and to lead by example. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good report, behavior, given hospitality, and apt to teach. In Titus 1:7-8, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but This is like the opposite of those things in verse 7. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. God calls each of us to be hospitable. Sometimes we may entertain strangers. When we entertain strangers, we may entertain angels. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Sometimes the strangers that we extend hospitality to may be angels. And then I want to go here to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verses 7 through 10. In this passage here, there's kind of a, verse 7 is a shift in the passage. And he says, but the end of all things is at hand, but be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So it is possible to extend hospitality with grudging, apparently. He says, do it without grudging. Be sober, be serious-minded, be prayerful, he says. Above all, love each other, and then use hospitality without grudging. Again, the love for your brother leads to hospitality. The Greek word here would indicate what you might think grudging is, being murmuring or grumbling, complaining. And he says, don't do it that way. Not because we have to, but because the love of Christ for us and for our friend and brother, as well as the stranger. I think that would indicate, again, that it is possible to extend hospitality with the wrong attitude. Peter says, don't do it. Don't do it grudgingly. And I think, as we look at verse 10, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that to me says, as we live out of the grace of God in our lives, it calls us to hospitality. Hospitality is a response to what we've been given, and we're given as stewards of God's manifold grace, we extend hospitality to others. There are other examples as well. And there's an example of Mary and Martha and Jesus in John 12, Lydia to Paul and Silas in Acts 16, and John commends Gaius as well in the way that he related to brethren and strangers in 3 John 5 to 8. So what are the practical implications of this kind of hospitality? I don't think it does us any good to just talk about it as a theory. There has to be some action involved here. How then shall we live? How well do I practice hospitality with my neighbor, my brother, a stranger? First of all, I'd say let's not make it too complicated. It can be simple acts of kindness and care, both in our homes and elsewhere. And that kind of care is like an oil that smooths relationships. It's like a welcoming fragrance to the unbeliever who doesn't know about the Lord. Sometimes it just means listening to someone who needs to talk. I heard a story recently of a man in, I think it was New York City, who felt compelled to ask the taxi driver to offer him that he would buy him lunch. He could keep the clock running on his taxi, and then just give him a chance to tell him about his life. And the taxi driver surprisingly took him up on it, and he gave him his life story. He had been an immigrant, and he had the qualifications that he had in the country he came from didn't transfer to the same kind of job in the U.S. And so he needed to drive a taxi to support himself. and I assume his family. But he, as he gave his lengthy life story, he said at the end, he thanked him for asking. He said, "No one, since I've moved here, no one has ever asked me about my story." So sometimes hospitality is just simply listening to someone who needs to talk. Maybe they haven't been given a chance to talk and share what's on their heart. We have an opportunity today to show hospitality to Caleb and Sherilyn by signing up for a meal for them, to bless them. And I thought as well this morning about Brother Harvey, who's no longer here. He used to sign up on that sheet as well. So I don't think any of us have a reasonable excuse not to share in this way. I bless Harvey and his example in that way. Maybe it means stopping by the road and helping someone out. I know that that holds different implications now than it used to. Most people have phones and maybe don't want help. But sometimes I still run across people who need help, who want help. One time I stopped by to, I felt like I should stop by and see if someone needed help. And it ended up being a mother and her children, and I think grandmother. And it was a pretty chaotic carload. And I think there must have been some disappointment. I'm not sure what going on with the turn of events. They were stranded. And I asked if I could help anyway, and they said no. But I offered then, because of the situation, I felt like I should offer to pray for them. And they welcomed that, and I was able to do that. And just simple things can be... simply being sensitive to the Spirit of God in that. I encourage you in that. I was reminded of an experience that we had on our Western trip that our small group has told us about, but is still think about to this day. We were cruising through Idaho, I believe it was, and heard a sharp hissing sound followed by warm air coming from the vents in our vehicle, pulled over. And it was the AC line had blown, obviously. It was flopping listlessly beside the AC compressor. So that meant some warm traveling ahead and some maybe less than ideal perspectives regarding that prospect. You can ask my children about that. But as we went to their campground, and then I started asking where I might find help with this, and ended up at an AutoZone the next day, and they were exceptionally hospitable people. I was able to use many of their tools. If they didn't have them behind the counter, they offered that I could take them off the shelf, use them, and clean them up, bring them back, and that kind of thing. But as we were working on the vehicle in the parking lot, and it was not a cool day, I can't tell you how many people stopped by, locals stopped by and said, "Can we do anything for you? Can I get you a drink?" Some didn't ask, they just brought drinks. Another lady said, "Have you had supper yet?" "Well, no, we hadn't. Well, here's two pizzas," and I just got them. And obviously, it wasn't for us, that wasn't the intent, but she gave them to us, blessed us immensely. Others said, "I got my place just a mile or two out of town. I got a shade tree. You can park under there. It'll be cooler there if you want. And you can stay for the night as well and just use our bathroom during the night. You can stay there if you wish." But it was an humbling experience, and I realized that, well, for one, there are still good people out there. But also, how well have I done? It was convicting. How well have I done when I see someone in need? I'm not sure that someone who's stranded in Hutch would find the same experience as we. I don't know. But at least I have not done well enough with that. I was reminded of our dating experience as well, and story I told you in the message on courtship some time ago, and I won't go through the whole story again, of course, but the time we were stranded just on the other side of the Canadian border, and someone stopped to help us, and they ended up inviting us into their home, complete strangers. We spent the evening with them, chatted a long while, ate breakfast with them the next morning. He sent his cell phone along with us. That was in the days before cell phones were very common, if you can imagine that. This has been 2000. And so it said here, just mail it back to us when you get to your destination. Simple acts of kindness that spoke loudly. Hospitality should start with our brother and our sister. And I think that can prepare us for sharing that with others who we don't know. Maybe even there's a brother in the church who actually is a stranger to us. Either just because we haven't had much to do with them, or because maybe we've avoided them. We maybe disagree over some things and not sure that we want to have ongoing dialogue with them. But I would propose to you, invite them over. Silence or lack of communication or lack of hospitality breeds mistrust and misunderstanding in the brotherhood. So I encourage you, take the opportunity. Invite those who you think it would profit you to come to better terms with. This will strengthen the brotherhood and will pave the way for better and more understanding relationships, and prepares us for a mindset of hospitality with strangers too. Now, to you young families with intensity of young children, I understand how difficult the thought of it is of carving out some practical hospitality. I get that. But your house doesn't need to be perfect. The meal doesn't need to be fancy. You can even go buy pre-made pizza and bring it home and serve that to visitors, or take it to someone else. It can be simple. I think in many ways it's better if it's simple. Visit those who can't get out easily. Visit those in nursing homes and let them know they aren't forgotten. Visit the elderly. Visit the young families who find it hard to get out. Extend hospitality to the singles, to the widows. Invite them to your family gatherings and events, etc. And singles and widows, invite others to your home as well. You have a lot to offer to us who aren't in your state in life, who have a different responsibilities. I think Sundays are a wonderful opportunity to extend hospitality. We're together as a church. We're worshiping together. We're sharing together in brotherhood. I think Sundays are a good place to extend hospitality to our brother and sister. Now, I might dabble here a little bit, step on a few toes here, but bear with me. I think that a potential barrier to hospitality, particularly as it pertains to on a Sunday morning, could be a tradition of getting together with your extended family and it always being that way, always the same people every Sunday lunch. And I would offer that as a possible barrier to what you might experience, what you could experience. Not that it's not good to meet with family and on a regular basis and facilitate those relationships. That's positive. But maybe change it up a bit and get at least one or two non-family visitors to join you. Or maybe start scheduling your weekly family get-together on a different evening of the week. And so that it gives you the opportunity to welcome visitors that you meet in church or brothers and sisters, and extend the worship time together just for your consideration. Hospitality with strangers. Let strangers see us live out our faith simply and unapologetically. I think sometimes we create barriers in our mind that don't exist in a stranger's mind when they feel genuine and authentic love from us, a love that values them as a person as Christ would. Don't place barriers there that aren't there if you were to extend genuine and authentic hospitality. I think as we show that hospitality and invest in those relationships, the truth that is spoken in the context of those relationships becomes more effective. In other words, if we meet someone on the street and we blast them with the word of truth, so to speak, that does less than inviting them into our space and into our homes and develop long-term relationships with them and then have the opportunity to share truth with them. I often think about the story of Rosaria Butterfield. And I don't know, I assume some of you are probably familiar with her story, but she's written a book, Now the Gospel Comes with a House Key. And I would encourage you to read that. It talks about this thing of hospitality. I have not read the book. I've heard people interview her and her talk about her story, but there are others whom I trust that have recommended the book, so I would extend that to you as well. But her story is a story of tremendous grace and tremendous working in her life. She was a professor, I think, at Syracuse University, and she was a practicing lesbian, and was one who made it her mission to try to counter biblical evangelical Christianity. And she wrote an article once at one point about the Promise Keepers movement, and then just how much she, I guess, despised it and how much it was, what all was wrong with it, I'll say that. And she got flooded with mail, both those who supported her view of that and those who countered that view. But one letter in particular stood out to her. It was from a pastor in her local town. And she and they said, and they referenced the article, they referenced what she had said. They agreed with her on some points and also countered some points. But they said, you know, why don't you come over? We'd like to visit with you about this. We'd like to invite you over. And that blew her away, because it was one of the few, maybe the only response to her article that was not either full of animosity or full of, you got this just right. I mean, it was at a different place. And so she decided to take him up on it and decided she's writing a book about the religious right, and these people are going to become my unpaid research assistants. And so she determined to visit them, which she did. And this became a weekly event. She went to their house. She said for about 2 years, I think it was, nearly weekly. So it was a huge investment of time by Ken and Floy Smith, the couple that was invited them into their home. And they discussed many things, and they disagreed on many things. And then she would go to the campus, and she would disparage them, and she would talk ill of them, but then she'd go back next week. And she continued week after week. And they would sing. They would sing from their Psalter. They would sing psalms with her. And she needed to learn how to do that. But it was over time, they earned her trust, or she began to trust them. And with time, she came to the Lord through her friendship with them. Sometime later, she felt led to leave her homosexual lifestyle, and she ended up getting married to a man who is now a pastor of a church. And so she is passionate about this thing of hospitality because of what it changed in her life. It's a beautiful picture of what can happen when believers reach out and invest in even in those who they know they disagree, but it's done in the love of Christ through relationship over a long time. Hospitality takes work. It takes intentionality. We're used to quick gains and quick and measurable results. We like those kinds of things, but relationships through hospitality take a lot of time, and they get messy. I believe hospitality is a gateway to brotherhood, a gateway to brotherly love, a gateway to the stranger, a gateway to the kingdom of God. There's something disarming about biblical hospitality that I think we underestimate the power of it, and I see it as a primary way of extending the kingdom to those around us. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning seeking your heart with this thing of hospitality. You said you want us to care for the widow, the fatherless, the stranger. You said you want us to care for fellow believers and family. We want to do that your way. We want to reach out to those who don't know you and who could be won by showing your love and compassion to them. A simple cup of water, some clothes, some food, some fellowship, whatever it means, Lord, help us to be faithful to your Spirit as we seek to follow you in this. And we look to you for your work to be done in our hearts and lives, individually and as a brotherhood. In Jesus' name, amen.